All right, welcome to another episode of the Superior Man Podcast. Today, I'm joined with someone very special, author of The Man Diet, and I believe you have another book that I saw the link for in here, The Lost Art of Discipline, right?
Yep.
Chad House, how are you doing, Chad?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Doing amazing. I wanted to have you hop on the podcast because recently I've been having a lot of breakthroughs with realizing how important a man's health is to pretty much everything in his life.
Yeah.
And how it affects your relationships, how it affects your family life, how it affects how you feel, your business, your income. So I want to dive into everything that I'm personally curious about of how a man can optimize his health so that he can become ultimately the best version of himself. So for those who don't know who you are, your background, how you got into teaching all of this, can you give us a little like cliff notes as to how you got started into this?
I guess it was sports. I was in sports my whole life, basketball, boxing, that kind of stuff. And then I just started doing the online fitness blogging thing. That morphed into testosterone because I had a low testosterone test and I wanted to figure that out. And then wrote the book, wrote the discipline book, and then I started the supplement company, Man Nutra.
That's awesome. So what made you get into testosterone as a whole? Was it because you started noticing some things within your own life that were affected because of low testosterone?
Yeah, man, that was a long time ago. Just like low energy, too much body fat, like the common symptoms of lower testosterone, and then seeing that it was declining in men across society piqued my interest as well. So it's like I'm not the only guy that had to deal with that kind of thing. So I started like doing the research, and it's been like freaking a decade, if not more. So been at it for a while.
That's a long time. Why do you think that testosterone is declining over each generation? Or why do you think there's an agenda behind the decline of testosterone?
You could go into the conspiracy theories and all that shit, but I don't think so. I don't think it's purposeful. Like, it's innovation, right? Like, we sit more because we now work at desks, and we're not out in nature hunting and gathering and farming and all that kind of thing. So sitting has a lot to do with it. But then innovation with plastics and other chemicals that helped make things easier in society in some ways have negatively affected men just because we're bombarded with chemical estrogens and so forth. So I don't think you could pitch it like that. Like, there's an active attack on male testosterone levels because a more sedated, softer male population is easier to control. But I don't think it's that. I think it's just innovation and the negative offsets of like science that they think they're doing this thing the right way. And then there's always a counter to it. So
yeah. That makes total sense. So if someone's listening to this or watching this right now, and they think they might have low testosterone because of lack of energy, higher body fat, all these things, what are some practical steps a person can take to be able to level up their testosterone naturally, or at least try to do it naturally before they go into, you know, a lot of people do TRT because they feel like that's their only option. So how can one actually start to increase their testosterone naturally?
Yeah, definitely go the natural route first. There's a lot you can do. First, if you have more than 14% body fat, you're going to be carrying too much estrogen because your body converts testosterone to estrogen in your body fat through aromatase. It's an enzyme that converts. It happens naturally. It's not a bad thing. We need estrogen. We just don't need help increasing it. And humans are not naturally fat. We're not supposed to be fat. We haven't been fat up until 1,000 years ago. But in the grand scheme of how long we've been here, that's just a blip. So reduced body fat would be a big one. Getting 8 hours of sleep, of good quality sleep, is really important. That's something I've struggled with a lot. That was one of the main things that I had to figure out, was sleep, because that's when you produce most of your testosterone, is when you sleep anyway. So good sleep is very important. And then lifestyle, being active, being competitive, that increases testosterone when you compete, and just not being overly stressed. And there's some supplements you can add in there as well that'll help, but lifestyle changes are the most important. Supplements are secondary.
Got it. So what can someone do to increase the quality of their sleep? Because, I mean, if I'm being honest, I still have trouble to this day to increase the quality of my sleep, whether that's I can't sleep and it goes past the time that I want to sleep, or I notice I'll get 8 hours, but it seems like the quality of sleep that I got was more like a 5 hour sleep cycle. So what would you recommend for someone who's trying to get better quality sleep so that they can increase their testosterone?
Yeah, I figured mine out, and then I've dipped back into like some sleep issues recently, but I know like the main thing is a sleep schedule. You got to wake up at the same time every single day, regardless if it's a weekend. You got to do it for like month, 2 months. You're not going to do it 3, 4, 5 days in a row and see a difference. You got to get those circadian rhythms back to being forcing yourself to fall asleep at a certain time, but that has more to do with when you wake up. So go to bed and wake up at the same time every day. That's huge. And then there's the things like avoiding nicotine, caffeine after 4. Nicotine, I think it's after, you know, about the same thing as caffeine because it's a stimulant. And then no screens within an hour before bed. And I've found, because I think too much, if things are stressful with work, I'm hyperactive trying to figure that out. And if things are good with work, I'm kind of paranoid, like, what the hell? Like, how do I keep this going kind of thing, right? So writing everything out, like doing a brain dump and just leaving it on that sheet of paper is very helpful for the active mind, hyperactive mind kind of thing, I've found.
Got it. That makes sense. And you mentioned lifestyle changes as well, getting more active and doing things like that, being more competitive. I'm wondering what things have you found to be the best for you in terms of bringing that competitive side out of you? I know you mentioned in your book fighting and doing some boxing, which is awesome. But what are some things that you feel like is missing in our culture today, especially for men, that has killed their competitive side that they need to actually bring back more of?
Yeah, I think it has to be like, there's a difference between physical competitiveness and work, creating a business, whatever. I think that's more, it's long-term. It's probably more, it'll increase chronic stress a little more. But you can fix chronic stress. It's a mindset. It's how you think. You don't have to worry and all that stuff. You can figure that out. But I think physical competitiveness is very important. So I like boxing. That's my favorite sport. So I do that 2-3 times a week. But even just like getting in a rec league, doing that kind of thing, keeping that competitiveness alive. But also sports are different than training. As you know, you react. You're not following a set pattern and stuff. So I think it's good for just the overall health as well. It trains your body in a different way.
Got it. How have you been keeping active during the whole COVID-19? Because my boxing gym is closed, so I can't even do anything like that. How have you been working around that?
Yeah, me and a buddy and my godson, 7, and he's getting into it. He's doing pretty good. It's freaking wicked. But we hired the coach, and I think we're allowed 4 people in a gym at one time. So we just paid him private lessons for the 4 of us, and we do that 2, sometimes 3 times a week. And then I just freaking got everything I needed and put it in my basement gym wise.
Got it.
Like quickly, but then I'm going to redo that whole thing and put a real proper gym in the basement just in case this shit happens again.
That makes sense. I wanted to read something from your book that like I highlighted here because I thought this was really important. And I wanted to get your opinion on this. You wrote, in your own life, if you're unwilling to face your fears, to step outside of your comfort zone, you're not going to perform anywhere near your capabilities. If you shy away from conflict, you never step into the arena of your life. If you persistently choose safety over danger, you're never going to rise above the monotonous existence that we've created for ourselves in a society where near everything is controlled. So I'm just wondering, for most of the guys who are listening to this and who follow me, most of them aren't taking any dangers in life. They aren't taking any risks. They aren't getting past their fears. And I feel like a lot of guys have come into this stage in existence in their life where they're consuming so much information, whether it's podcasts, videos, programs, but they're not actually doing, they're not actually acting. So based on your opinion and what you've learned about being a more masculine man, having higher testosterone, doing all these things, what are some practical steps one person can take or a man can take to actually become that guy who's consistently facing his fears and taking some risks in his life?
Yeah, with like testosterone, it's like, hey, why do guys want to raise testosterone? It's to live a better life. So you've got some bit of ambition in there. But then you have to take it to its next step. If you're gonna do all this stuff to increase your testosterone, but you're not gonna live a better life because of it, or you're not gonna live a more adventurous life or just exciting life or good life or interesting life or a life that makes you happy, then what the hell's the point of being healthy and increasing your testosterone at all?
Right.
So why not take it to the next step and do the things that you think, like, everyone's got this idea of what like a great life is, and they think it's a lot of it's relegated to people who are born with this or born with that, but it's not. It's just based on taking actions, facing fears and getting after it. And the simple steps you can take are just writing down some things you're a little afraid of and doing them, not shying away from them. Like, for example, I'm right next to the Rockies and bears scare the living shit out of me. Like the Grizzlies, they scare the hell out of me, but I still go hiking all the time. And get out into the mountains. It's not a big fear, but it's just still like that little unknown, that uneasiness when you're out there alone, that it's kind of exciting. And then you get the struggle up the mountain, and then you get the feeling of having conquered the mountain at the top and the wildlife and all that stuff. So, that I think hiking, being in nature, doing things like that brings us more back to, our genetics, our DNA, our where we are technically supposed to live, and how we're supposed to exist. Like this, to get into the testosterone thing, I've got a book here. It's good. It's called The Depression Cure. So I bought it because I'm like, okay, all these people are suffering from depression. It intrigued me. It's written by a doctor, but he looked at hunter-gatherer civilizations and they studied them for 10 years, modern hunter-gatherer civilizations, and there's zero cases of depression. So they're out. They're not fat. Not a single person is fat. They're out hunting every day. They are in nature all the time. They have a clear purpose. The men hunt, the women take care of the village and so forth. I know gender roles are split and shit like that, but it is what it is. That's like, they're doing what they're supposed to do in each case because the women have to take care of the kids. The older people are providing wisdom and they've done their duty. So they're getting taken care of. There's community and so forth, but they're in nature a hell of a lot more than in these little boxes that we're in cities and towns and so forth. So I think with facing fears, the things that bring us back to living like humans, and humans have lived for thousands upon thousands of years that we've gotten away from, I think that's very important for your testosterone levels, for life, for your mental health and everything.
Dude, it's funny you mentioned that because I started getting more into this journey because of that reason. I was depressed for a very long period of time. And I was always like, what the fuck? You know, I'm following all of the advice that these so-called health experts have given me. You know, I was vegan for 4.5 years and it was destroying my health, literally destroying my health.
Yeah.
And I was looking at all this stuff and I'm like, well, why are they saying this stuff is healthy? You know, just eat plants and all this shit. When in reality, I'm depressed, I'm having bloating, I have fatigue. I don't feel like I was when I was 18 or 19 years old. And when I started eating meat again and going on a more paleo style diet, immediately things started getting better. And then going out into nature and doing things like competitive sports and getting into what our ancestors basically did, and the depression just completely declined. So I'm wondering, like you said, you know, gender roles are starting to change and it's like everything is almost equal now. Women are starting to become more like men and men are starting to become more like women. What do you think is the solution for a society as a whole to start really going deeper into their own masculinities, or even for the woman's side, going deeper into their own feminine aspect. But for men who are watching this, what's some practical things they can do to start to become a more masculine man?
Yeah. That's a tough one. I think, like, if you're a man and no, okay. So we've got into this scenario where a lot of guys think women want soft, emotional men who do what they say and so forth. So they kind of play the lapdog kind of thing. But what they really want in their DNA, and a lot of women find this out too late because they've got a window. Let's like talk biology. They've got a window of till they're maybe 40 to get married and have to start having kids. And everyone should, like, I want to get married, have kids. Everyone will want that at some point, I think. But you need to be, like, if you look at what men were for the longest time, useful men, they're dangerous. Like, you have to be dangerous. You have to know how to defend people, to protect people, whether that's, like, I think you got to learn that with martial arts or some kind of martial art, using guns, that kind of thing. Like, do what you can, as you've seen by this last little while. All these protests, all these businesses getting torn to shit, people getting beaten up for no reason. You know, sometimes it's good to have a little wherewithal with a weapon every now and then. But pure masculinity, be dangerous, have a purpose, have something you're getting after. I think if you look at testosterone, the effects it has, it increases your propensity to take risks. So that is kind of ambition, that's daring, that's getting after it, that's getting up with the reason and trying to create something, trying to build something, trying to improve your life, improve your family's life, and protect a provider. So those are those main two things, protect a provider. I think those are the two basis of masculinity, and I don't think you can take one or focus on one and leave the other and be, you know, complete or happy or purposeful. So those two main things.
Got it. So be more of a protector in the sense that you're more dangerous and be able to provide for the ones that are closest to you.
Yeah. This doesn't, like, then there's the other, there's, that's being a man or whatever. And then, you know, you work on self-improvement, you read a ton, you grow, you become better, you're kinder, you're whatever. But those two foundations, the being dangerous, we want more good men who are dangerous, because there's enough bad men who are dangerous. We need more good men who are dangerous, and we need, or within a family, within a whatever, a tribe, you need to be a provider. You need to be getting after it and you know, trying to improve your place in society. And you know, take care of your family better, take care of people better, take care of yourself better, whatever. Right. But those two things, basic wise, I think those two are very important. And people, I think we look at the provider, we don't call it really look at it as a provider anymore, but I think most people are trying to get after it, trying to improve their state or status in their work or whatever job. No one wants to just stay where they are. But then we've kind of lost the protector aspect. Like, if you're a man and you're feeble, like, what's the point?
All right.
Like, what are you going to do? Like, the whole point of you in a house is to basically guard that house. You get a big dog, cool, but you're still supposed to be the first and last line of defense.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Fucking bare bones.
Yeah. I'm wondering, how important do you think it is for men to learn how to hunt? Because in today's society, obviously with the whole vegan agenda, it's like hunting is the worst thing possible that you could do. You're a murderer. Yeah. And one thing I've realized this year is like, yeah, I want to hunt. I want to be able to go out there and kill my own animals and be able to eat them. How important do you think that is to being part of a man? And do you start to actually respect the animals more because you start to realize how much work goes into actually killing and harvesting things?
Big time. I think, the moral argument against hunting is a horrible one, because if you've ever driven by a crop field when they're harvesting the crop, let's say corn or something, and you notice birds flying above, they're flying above because the amount of animals being killed when you harvest a crop is insane. Like squirrels, voles, all these, like you're killing animals by harvesting crops and you're taking up way more land and you're killing a plant. It's a living being, so you're still killing it. We could go into the moral argument against hunting. It's a horrible one. It's just not a good one. Right. If you look at the health aspect of eating wild game versus the, I don't like the big factory farms where they feed their animals crap and all that stuff. So hunting an animal is a far healthier thing to do than eating these cows or whatever that have lived in a small space their entire lives. As far as a spiritual kind of thing, I think hunting is good because if you're going to eat meat, you've killed an animal. Whether you did or down the line someone killed it and you are the cause of it because you're eating an animal. Again, the same thing with vegans and vegetarians. You kill animals too. Like,
right.
You're not escaping that side of the argument. But if you want to eat animals, you killed it. And we're so disconnected from the way the world works, how brutal nature is, that it is good to take the animal that you're eating. It's not a happy thing. It's not like, yes, I killed the shit out of that animal. Like, woohoo. It's you spend time stalking it. You might be out there for days, not get anything, but then you do take the animal and you're grateful because it gave its life so you could sustain yours and family and so forth. And with hunting, you're basically going after a subsect of animals that is allowed to be hunted, and it's for population control. There's real reasons for it in nature now that humans have spread out so much. So you're doing good for the planet. You're doing good for your own brain. And you're getting in touch with how the world works. It's not all sunshine and rainbows. Like for you to eat, something had to die. And it's good to experience that life death kind of cycle when you're eating things, because it shows you how important these things are.
Right. Well, why do you think vegans are trying to push their agenda? I can't believe for 4.5 years I was following the rhetoric because of how badly it ruined my health. And I started wondering, like, why are they pushing this? If it's not making anyone healthier, if it's not actually doing anyone good, why are they pushing it so hard with documentaries and all this stuff? What do you think the reason is?
Yeah, I think, it's not healthier. We're carnivores or omnivores at best. If you look at some research, we're more carnivorous. When our brains started really developing, we were more carnivorous than wolves were. Like, we were eating lots of fish, lots of game, and very little fruits and vegetables. I think they are pushing it. If you look at it, it's not just vegans, vegetarians, it's governments as well, which is the suspicious one. It's like, why is the government trying to tell us how? If you look at the food pyramid in 92, it's completely upside down. They don't really get nutrition right that often. And they're more and more pushing a vegan, vegetarian kind of thing. I don't fully understand that. With vegans, vegetarians, they're emotional idiots. Not to like pick on anyone, but their decisions are made emotionally. Like, they're dug into this killing is evil. In every circumstance, forgetting about how the world works, forgetting about the fact that animals kill animals and that's how they survive and that's how populations are kept in control and whatever. And they are just completely, their decisions are completely dictated by emotion. And then how can you argue with someone with a deeply held emotional belief? It's almost impossible. There's no point. Right. So they get behind it. They're very emotional about it, and they're growing in number because they've got good marketing. They've got a sweet little message about, you know, save the planet and all this stuff. But the more crops and land we take up with crops, the worse it is for the planet anyway. So it's just a dumb argument, but I think it's just based on emotions for the most part. It's not based on real science or facts or whatever, but the suspicious part is the governments and then because they're handing out grants to people that are kind of going with this line of thought, you know, red meat's bad, this and that and everything else. The World Health Organization came out with this big study that red meat is horrible for you. It's a carcinogen, all this stuff, but it's clearly not. The studies were horrible. They were not good studies whatsoever, but you have these organizations that are giving grant. Anytime you see a grant given for research and it's trending in a certain way, that's when you got to be suspicious, because it's like, okay, why are they giving grants and why are they rewarding a certain type of research when science is supposed to be open-minded? Let's find the truth, not finance one narrative and not the other. That's a little suspicious to me. I don't fully understand why, but
yeah, it's funny. A lot of ex-vegans are starting to come out and talk about there. I don't know if you saw, there was a vegan who was really, really popular for like 7 years, and he just came out saying he gave up veganism because it was ruining his health, and he was promoting it to millions and millions of people, which is insane.
Yeah, I saw one where the guy wouldn't feed his kid a vegan diet, and that's what woke him up. He's like, if I can't feed my kid a purely vegan diet, like I can't be behind this fully, because if you look at the nutrients and vitamins and fats and everything in meat, it's far more nutritiously dense than we can have with vegetables. That's why if you're going to live off a vegan diet, you got to eat a ton and a ton of variety to really do it right. And you're going to have to supplement with meat. And we're talking meat as in, like, meat eaters eat vegetables and fruits as well. It's not like you're meat or vegan, although vegans are meat or vegan, but meat eaters eat a wide ranging diet because that's what humans need. We're humans. We're not cows. We're not, you know, herbivores. So yeah, what they're pushing, it's not healthy for them. And then the more you stay on it, I think the longer people see that it's just not the best way to eat.
Right. I'm wondering, going into supplements, you talked a little bit about supplements. What supplements should every man be taking? Because I was at Jason Maxwell's house, and he had your man greens, and it had maca powder, and I believe it was ashwagandha was in there as well.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, like, where did those supplements come into play, and what kind of supplements should every guy be taking to not only increase their testosterone, but also become a more masculine, better version of themselves?
Yeah, so just pure health. Like, I have supplements that are basically things we're not going to get in our diet. Like, we're not going to get maca, ashwagandha. Maca is the best libido booster on the planet. Ashwagandha is an adaptogen. It helps lower cortisol. So it's super healthy, and we're not going to eat it because it tastes horrible. There's turmeric in there. There's spirulina, which is a very healthy superfood, and spinach and whatever. There's a bunch in man greens. There's 9 supplements. As a caveat, don't take supplements that have proprietary blends, because they're trying to sneak in little amounts of the expensive things and large amounts of the inexpensive things and trick you into buying something that has a ton of ingredients and not enough of anything to actually make a difference. So with man greens and the other supplements, we put all the amounts on the labels and we just use the ones that work. Man greens is great supplement that men should take, just because you're not going to get those things in your diet on a regular basis. Zinc is another. So I have Man Boost as well. You can take Man Boost or take these individually, doesn't matter. But we have zinc is a thing that zinc deficiency is bad for men. Lower testosterone. Zinc's also good for your immune system. So we use zinc picolinate, which is the highest form of zinc you can supplement with. And then resveratrol, boron, and IC3, which helps flush chemical estrogens out through the liver. Obviously, I'm going to push my own supplements.
No, that's fine.
But as far as what people have to take, as a base, I would supplement with zinc and D3.
Vitamin D3.
Yeah. Because we live inside. We're inside a lot. We don't get enough sun. D3 is great for testosterone, great for immune system. Same with zinc, great for testosterone, great for immune system. Then you're getting in, after those, you're getting into other minerals that are good. You're getting into the man greens kind of thing, superfoods that you're not going to get in your diet normally. And then depending on what you want, my favorite supplement's the man brain one. or you just freaking pop, I popped one before this. You just pop a couple pills and it's filled with stuff that we don't have in our diet today. Like, because, so if you look at our meat consumption, we used to eat the liver meat, liver or organ meats a lot when we hunt, because that's where the vast majority of the nutrients are in an animal. It's a lot of it's in the organs, liver, so forth. There's choline in those, in the liver, lots of nutrients that we don't get. There's a 92% of Americans are deficient in choline. Choline helps fight cognitive decline. It helps your brain perform better. So that's why I like the man brain. We put choline, we put two forms of choline and theanine and Bacopa Moreni, which helps you focus, and all these different things that help you focus. Again, in their full amounts, and we say exactly on the label. But depending on what you want, a supplement for that. Creatine's also a baseline. Creatine's a baseline one for men. And you don't have to cycle it. That's a myth.
Okay, so with the other ones, you have to cycle it, or no? You can continue taking those.
No, there's a... my dog's licking his ass right now, if you hear that. Okay, good. The other ones, you don't... No, you don't have to cycle anything. Zinc, you can have too much, but you can kind of take 15 milligrams a day. That should be fine. There is a narrative that you should cycle creatine. There's studies out now saying that you don't have to, you could just take it forever kind of thing. Creatine's great just for recovery, and it's actually a nootropic as well. It helps you focus. So I take that, along with man brain, before a big work session.
Got it. And what can someone do to, also make their gut health better? Because I'm sure you talked about this in your book as well. I remember reading it somewhere that the gut affects, you know, testosterone as well. And even going back to my old diet, the vegan diet, it absolutely ruined my gut, and it made me addicted to sugar because I was having so much carbohydrate intake.
Yeah.
So if someone's addicted to sugar, or they're having too much sugar in their diet, or their gut is completely fucked up, what are some things they can do to have a better gut health?
Yeah, sugar, just get rid of sugar. Don't eat sugar and you should be fine, to be honest. Other than that, like, oatmeal is good for your gut. You can take probiotics, but probiotics are like both, there's good research behind it and good research behind the fact that they don't know really what the strains we need are. And there's the fact that most probiotics are dead. So by the time you take them, they're completely useless anyway. I don't take probiotics. I'll have oatmeal. I don't eat sugar frequently. Like, I'll have sugar every now and then. I'm a human. And then I'll have yogurt and like kefir or something every now and then.
Got it. So
natural stuff, right? Like
natural probiotics.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. I wanted to ask you some questions. I want to do a rapid fire with you. First thing that comes to your head, just throw it out there. Just kind of don't make it super long, just very quick answers.
Sure.
Favorite books that changed your life?
Skin in the Game by Nassim Taleb.
Stay in the Game by Nassim Taleb.
Skin in the Game by Nassim Taleb. And then Anti-Fragile by Nassim Taleb. And I'm sure some others, but those are what's on the brain.
Awesome. Mantra that you live by?
It's better to wear out than to rust out. Theodore Roosevelt, I think.
I like it. And then last but not least, if there was one message, one thing that you could get across to the entire world, let's say tomorrow was your last day, there was one thing that you could get out across all 7-8 billion people in the world, what would your message be?
Just take care of your own life. Stop worrying about other people's lives.
I like that. Simple. Cool.
Yeah.
Dude, thank you so much. If someone wants to know more about what you do, if they want to reach out to you, ask you questions, obviously get the Man Diet book. I'm not sure if you guys can see on here, but I took tons and tons of notes and constant just like penning it in. So get the Man Diet book. But if someone wants to know more about you, what can they do to reach out and ask you questions?
The supplement site's mannutra.com. Everything else, you could just Google me. I'm on the Instagram and all that stuff too.
Cool.
Not that often, but I'm on there.
So just at Chad House.
Yeah.
Perfect. Awesome. Dude, thank you so much for hopping on. Appreciate you for giving this value. Your dog seems like he's tired and bored in the background. You might have to take him out.
Yeah,
but yeah, brother, appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Take care.